from
only addressed the media at the United Nations. And what did she say then? She said, this is no big deal. One device. And Philippe Reynders was by her side at the State Department, now an outside advisor to the campaign. And he is saying just the opposite in private. There is just no good answer. And you know who also believed that? Cheryl Mills. The same day, in fact, and when we cross-reference this, March 7th, 2015, she sees or hears about that interview with the president on CBS you just mentioned. She fires off an email declaring, quote, we need to clean this up. He has emails from her, meaning Clinton. They do not say state.gov, meaning Mills, who was chief of staff at the State Department, knew that Secretary Clinton and the president had exchanged work emails on her personal email address.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
James Comey, the FBI director, basically said it in between the lines. His point was, everybody knew if the first defense witness in this prosecution would be who? The President of the United States, followed by the Secretary of Defense, followed by the head of the NSA, followed by a who's who of the Obama administration and across the national security apparatus of the federal government, because everybody knew they let her get away with it. And at the end, you can't come back in and say, well, you let her get away with it for years, but now we're going to prosecute her for it.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. The big question, did President Obama lie on March 7th, 2015, when he was asked by CBS News reporter, very direct question, did you know, when did you find out about Hillary Clinton's private email server? And he said the same day as everybody else when it was in the media. And then we go to the Clinton emails that have been released and hacked by WikiLeaks. And again, we always put that asterisk there. These are private emails. They were hacked illegally. But very clear here, this is the subject line, is POTUS on HRC emails, President of the United States on Hillary Rodham Clinton emails, from Cheryl Mills, her chief of staff at the State Department, to John Podesta, who was a former senior counsel to President Obama and now the chairman of the Clinton campaign. She writes, it says, we need to clean this up. He, talking about President Obama, has emails from her. They do not say state.gov.
All right. What I'm going to do in the next segment of the broadcast is bring the case against the president and Hillary Clinton on this email scandal. And it will underscore exactly why we knew from the outset there was never going to be an investigation of Hillary Clinton by the FBI. Because the first witness I would call to the stand to testify would be the former president of the United States. At that point, he would be Barack Hussein Obama. Would say, you will promise to tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. And then I'm going to lay out the questions. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to lay out the questions, folks. And the American people have been bamboozled on this. And it is time for us, as the American people, to take our country back.
Kathy on Facebook writes, we knew he was lying. Now we have proof. What will they do about it? The question is, what will the electorate do about
this?
That's
really the question.
The American people, it's up to, I think, Trump's campaign to prosecute this. It's certainly making the news, but he will have to prosecute this. The final, we're just less than 2 weeks away from Election Day. Folks, important time also, ACLJ, with our matching challenge.
Yeah, it's not the matching challenge. We're in our prelude to the matching challenge. We're in our regular monthly challenge, and we're catching up. We were about $70,000, $80,000 behind. We're now about $20,000 behind. If you would go to ACLJ.org, we can catch it up in this last few days of the month. ACLJ.org, any amount you donate will be tax deductible. It's going to help us meet our goals. When we come back from the break, I'm going to lay out this case against the president and against Hillary Clinton. No wonder the FBI didn't want to do this. And then, of course, put on top of that, that the number two at the FBI was evidently a political hack of the Virginia governor. Or certainly, his wife was picked to run. It can't get any more bizarre than this. Back with more in a moment.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. Persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. Wherever books are sold, you can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The big question today is, did President Obama lie when he was asked by a reporter the same day Hillary Clinton released, had to speak publicly that she had this private email, a server? She acknowledged it. She was actually at the United Nations when she did, said it wouldn't be a big deal. President Obama was asked a very simple question. We can play it for everybody.
Let me set this up a little bit. We will play it for everybody. This is the question that Bill Plant from CBS News asked the president about when he learned of the secret emails. And remember, this comes on the heels of the WikiLeaks information where Cheryl Mills has an email to John Podesta, the head of the campaign, saying, "We need to clean this up." These are her words, by the way. Obama has emails from her. So there you have it. And here's what the president said when he was interviewed.
Mr. President, when did you first learn that Hillary Clinton used an email system outside the U.S. government for official business while she was Secretary of State?
At the same time, everybody else learned it through news reports.
Okay, if that was true, it would be malfeasance in office. Okay, if that was true, that neither the president nor his security staff nor his immediate personal staff knew that the president of the United States was responding to a non-secured server. So let's...
That was being hacked and, you know, made public.
Yes. So let's put that, just put that, if that's true, if that's how he learned it. Here's the reason there's no prosecution. The president said he learned about it then, but here's the reason. You're going to call as your first witness, the biggest witness, the president of the United States, who by the time this would go to trial would be the former president of the United States. You'd call to the stand President Barack Hussein Obama, and you would say to him, you'd put a Bible in front of him, he'd put his hand on it, and he'd say, "I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God." And the first question I'd ask him is, when did you actually know that these emails were not secured? And if he says, "When I read about it in the media," then I would next follow it up with, "Really? Well, if that's the case, how did your staff at the White House not know that you were communicating on a non-secured device to the former, to the current, rather, Secretary of State, who was signing her emails with the .com, ClintonMail.com. So answer that question. And the answer to that question is, that's why there's no prosecution. There's not no prosecution because there's no how I would do it if I was the prosecutor, and that's how you'd start the case. Then I'd get into Hillary Clinton and Cheryl Mills, who gets immunity and gets her evidence destroyed. I mean, I want to get this. Let's make this statement and get it done. Do you realize what the FBI has done to the American people here and to the Constitution? Here's Hillary Clinton talking about concerns about the Bush administration trying to keep emails about national security private, which is what you want to do. Here's what she said.
Our Constitution is being shredded. We know about the secret wiretaps. We know about the secret military tribunals, the secret White House email accounts. It is a
What a fraud, okay? I'm not endorsing or opposing. I'm just telling you evidence. What a phony baloney. We knew about private email accounts. I wish she had private email accounts. Yeah. That would make me feel a lot better about the situation.
Private government.
Unfortunately,
email
she doesn't.
Yeah, she's criticizing the Bush administration back in 2007 when she's on the campaign trail for her first failed presidential bid against Barack Obama, criticizing the Bush administration for secret .gov emails.
Right.
Emails that would be always preserved in the government record.
As executive
privilege. Yes, they're not going to be made public.
It's executive privilege.
But ultimately, they will be. You know, they will. Right. And they're there for prosecutors if they do want to try and they need information. This was about national security. This is why you use servers like that, the government servers, to communicate, not your own private email server in your husband's apartment bathroom.
All right. So John Harwood from NBC emails John Podesta, the head of the Clinton campaign, and says, how and why did she create this problem for herself, ? And why didn't anyone do something about it? Off the record response from Podesta. No good answer to that, but the decision to ask for a release at least indicates old habits can change. Habits? I mean, this is your habit? Let me tell you something, folks. It disqualified. Now I want to put on top of that, because kind of summing up where we are midweek here. Let me just put on top of that, that the FBI, number two, was the operator, director of the Washington field office when all this was going on with Hillary Clinton. His wife ran for a Senate seat, which she was not going to win. Terry McAuliffe and the RNC, the DNC, poured in almost $1 million to a campaign that there was no way she was going to win, period. He then gets, she loses, the FBI agent, who's the husband of the candidate, gets promoted to now the number two at the FBI under James Comey, who shouldn't be running the FBI. So I'm just kind of summing up the evidence for you folks exactly where we are. Now, I'd like to ask Than, and then Jordan, we'll start taking calls here and comments. Than, they're all out in Washington. The campaigns, we're down to less than 2 weeks here. What's kind of the sense?
Listen, I think the president's involvement, these emails, the revelations about how soon he knew about this, I think this is the biggest piece of news, Jay. And Jordan really started to touch on this, but I want to underscore this for listeners. These emails from the president would have always been privileged by executive privilege if the president had taken them seriously. He could have relieved the secretary from duty and the emails would not have come out. I want to say this. The reason for the staff saying we needed to clean this up was for exactly one reason. It was to protect the president from being revealed to the American people that he knew about this problem with Hillary Clinton servers. It was never about leaking information. It was about protecting the president's proximity to this. And Jay, no matter what happens in this election, this is an issue that Congress has to return to
when
it comes back. It's fundamental to our way of government.
No, you're not kidding. I mean, they've got to do this. And let me take it a step further. The FBI then destroyed Cheryl Moore's computer. How disgusting is that? Destruction of the evidence. I mean, who in the world authorizes these kind of things in the United States of America? Well, I guess evidently the FBI director. That's number one. Number two, let's take it to the next logical step on this, because this is where I think we have to realize what's going on here. If the president is telling the truth and he didn't find out about it until it was in the media, that is absolute malfeasance. How did his staff not know he was communicating in an unsecured method?
No, and that's a point that we really have to explore here, which is the fact that, yes, President Obama, unlike many of us, is not setting up his own BlackBerry or communication device to send these emails, as someone at his staff is. They're putting in the contact list, if there even is one, for the President of the United States. But ultimately, either Hillary Clinton had his email and used her private email to email him, and he decided to email back. Cheryl Mills knew this, by the way, because Cheryl Mills, like I've explained before, in these settings with these kind of principals, other people have access to their email. It's not really just between the principal and them. It's their staff, usually, who are dealing with their emails. And Cheryl Mills knew already that this was a problem. That's why she put in an email that President Obama was not being accurate when he answered that question, and at worst was lying when he was asked when did he find out about the server, because there were lots of emails, as Cheryl Mills said. I mean, this is from the Clinton people's own mouth.
Absolutely.
There were lots of emails to and from President Obama from Hillary Clinton that did not have a state.gov email account. So either President Obama's staff knew he was lying, or he knew.
It's malfeasance or lying
he's,
under.
He's on the older side of technology, but not the much older side.
Right.
He would probably figure out if he's doing his email whatsoever. And if he's not really in charge of it, if someone just hands it to him and says dictate, you know, then that staff person definitely knew that they were not mailing Hillary Clinton's official account.
Right. Absolutely. So it's either lying or malfeasance in office. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, right to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. On air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Mike, call in from New Jersey, online too. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Mike.
Well, you guys are doing a really good job straining out the gnats of the Obama administration while you're swallowing Trump's camels about how many women he wanted to nail.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, Mike, you don't listen to this broadcast. Is this the first time you listened?
I do an awful lot of times.
Yeah, and you're gonna I'm putting you under oath. You're under oath, and you have not heard us criticize Donald Trump. You didn't hear me go on Fox News and say what he did was inexcusable.
Yeah. You know
well,
what?
Go back and check.
I actually, Mike, lastly, we've been very critical of Donald Trump and the campaign. Now,
messaging
issue wise, I think you know it's to say you can line up more as a conservative, more as a liberal. But campaign-wise...
Yeah, we're talking about from the campaign
standpoint.
Yeah,
and this perspective of we're in the final less than 2 weeks away. I think that, there needs to be this focus on Clinton. People are making their decisions as we speak. Some people are voting right now, already have voted. So you need to inform people about what's out there. That's certainly the case when it's Donald Trump. We have not glanced over that. I don't know if we're going to... We can't even play the bite, I think, just to be fair, between Newt Gingrich and Megyn Kelly. But
horrible.
To put Newt Gingrich forward as the guy to attack Megyn Kelly on Donald Trump's accusation of sexual assault.
Absurd.
You think about it, it's Rudy Giuliani and Newt Gingrich, not guys who are morally perfect. These are not Mitt Romney types, if you will. And they're the ones going out there attacking other women for focusing on allegations of
those
sexual
are just bad,
assault.
Bad moves on the political management front.
Yeah, just to be very fair there.
They were fair. All right, we're going to come back and take more calls and 1-800-684-3110. And, of course, your support of the ACLJ helps us do all the work we're doing. You do that at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, folks, we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's an important time as we reach our goal for the month, our fundraising goal, so we can stay in federal court and the work that we do all over the world, working on international issues right now we can't even discuss publicly yet. We need your help if you're able to make a donation to the ACLJ. It's a great time to do it at ACLJ.org. We'll continue to take your phone calls and questions about this new revelations about President Obama and Hillary Clinton's emails. And, of course, the campaign. We're less than 2 weeks away. 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. Persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The overarching question, did President Obama lie in that interview in March of 2015 when he said he only found out about Hillary Clinton's private email server when the media broke the story? And then we have, and the reason we asked this today,
it's so bizarre.
We have the email from Cheryl Mills, who was the chief of staff to Hillary Clinton, now is her attorney.
Yeah, these are not very good lawyers,
John,
by the way.
Podesta,
who writes emails like this?
To John Podesta, who was a senior counselor to President Obama, who is now the chairman of the Clinton campaign. That same day that the interview with President Obama aired, saying POTUS on HRC emails, President of the United States on Hillary Rodham Clinton emails, is the subject line. This came in at about 9 o'clock at night, too. We need to clean this up. This is Cheryl Mills to John Podesta. She's talking about President Obama. He has emails from her. They do not say state.gov. So she's saying whether he knows it or not, President Obama has the emails from Hillary Clinton's private email account hosted on her private email server in Bill Clinton's bathroom.
Dan brings up a good point, and that is if Mills, Cheryl Mills and John Podesta knew, how did President Obama and his team or his team and Clinton not know? Impossible. There is no credible defense to this. None.
Jay, if we have learned one thing from the Clinton Foundation scandal, from the email scandal, all the rest, Cheryl Mills is ubiquitous with Hillary Clinton. We also know that John Podesta is very close to both Hillary Clinton and President Obama. Listen, it is just existed. And then President Obama comes out and admits it, and he did not know it. The president knew it, Hillary Clinton knew it, and the entire staff knew it. And the only goal was not to fix it. It was to cover it up.
Here's the ad that Donald Trump should be running, which he won't, but he should. It should be the email from john.harwood@nbcuniversal.com, which says, how and why did she create this problem for herself? And John Podesta's response back is, off the record, no good answer to that, but decisions to ask for release at least indicates old habits can change, which tells you that the only reason they asked for the release was they had to do it. I would make that the ad. That would be the advertisement that I would be running this campaign on. I don't think Donald Trump's team will do it. I think they should. That's just my view. What do I know? I've only been practicing law 36 years.
All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Monica in Texas on line 3. We're hearing these reports. I like to address them right on the air. Monica, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Monica.
Hi.
Yep.
First, I just want to thanks for all you do.
Sure.
Your sons, Ben, I really, really appreciate it. My husband and I support you guys.
We appreciate that.
I'm here in Texas, and I know someone who went to vote this week, and when they went to check, you know, after they voted and before they submitted it and checked, their Trump vote had been changed to Hillary. And so, I mean, I'm just concerned about the fraud that could be going on and if people miss that.
Well, look, I mean, you're not the first person that's called from Texas with these concerns, but Jordan said something yesterday, and I think this is because the election is literally 13 days away. People need to take action,
Monica,
right at their local.
Did your friend get that corrected? I mean, I think that's important. They noticed it, so they got it corrected, right? I mean, how do they tell you the story went? Like, they noticed that, they tell the election official,
It pops up on the screen,
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear the full story because it was at my dentist office this morning. So I didn't hear everything.
Yeah, that's important. I don't want people to think that their vote won't count.
Right.
I think that's very dangerous, especially if you are a Trump supporter. This mindset of going in saying, I could try to vote for Trump, but they're not going to even count my vote. If you're in Texas thinking that way, then, play that out into other states that are much closer. I mean, Monica, I'd be shocked if Donald Trump doesn't carry Texas, but the polls are closer than they've ever been between a Republican and Democrat.
Since 1988.
And even then, I think that you have to go back to the Nixon-Kennedy years and the Southern. But that, ultimately, I think that people, you got to get the full story here. Don't let that make people not vote. I think that's almost one of those excuses Trump's kind of playing into is my vote won't be counted.
Yeah, so here's what we need to do. If there is voter irregularities, and that's what they're called, you need to report that immediately to the voting officials that are on
site. While you're there.
Because those are generally nonpartisan. They have to be.
Yeah.
And get it fixed. So don't just take it if you find this out and say, this is horrible and my candidate ends up losing. You need to take direct action right then. As Jordan said, the election is 13 days away.
And let's go to Than on this because, Than, you bring up, and we haven't discussed this story on air, but again, we're trying to be fair throughout this process. There was a story, and Donald Trump's campaign's not denying it, that he's done fundraising for the RNC Victory
about?
Fund. Now, I'll tell you from my experience with the Bush campaign, that was the last presidential campaign I worked on that got that far. This one, so when you get to these certain 60 and 30 day periods of time where the FEC starts restricting, where they start restricting coordination, you can put up a combined victory account between the national party,
right?
So in this case, Donald Trump's case, the Republican Party and the campaign and the fundraising, there's larger, higher amounts. So it's called the victory account. Usually this is where you'd be putting the money right now because they hire more and more field staff. I mean, I know from my experience, I went from like a single operator in a national political team to, by the end of it, directing 2,000-3,000 people because of this account.
Yeah.
We started being able to hire lots of grassroots activists.
So
Donald Trump has stopped fundraising for this account. And Than, you bring up how this also impacts the lawyers being available and the people at the polling places. don't be afraid of poll watchers. They are part of the election process, and you want as many out there as possible.
Of course. Than.
Well, and what you're describing, Jordan, makes this sort of last, you know, last few days even more critical for Donald Trump, because remember, he does not have the typical apparatus that a campaign like the ones you're talking about had on the ground. He was really depending on the coordination with the RNC. So, you know, I think Trump, the person, has taken personal offense with some of the party leaders and cut off this fundraising without realizing that Trump, the candidate, needs that apparatus more than even previous presidents. I think it hurts him more than anybody else.
And part of that is the Senate is not – I don't think the Senate is a giveaway, by the way. These races are – Portman looks like he's going to be safe. I mean, they got to – for those that want him to be the nominee, you got to get out there campaign. Rubio looks like he's going to be safe. Mm-hmm. So the Democrats' ability to get the Senate is diminishing. That's why this fundraising thing –
Rubio's opponent is Patrick Murphy, and he was – his dad is a developer. And – had denied all these ties to Trump, and then there were pictures yesterday released of his dad breaking the ground with Donald Trump with the hard hat. I think that, again, you're not going to see a lot of money. I think the DNC has decided through their senatorial campaign they're not going to spend money against Marco Rubio. They're going to see if a Clinton...
Which brings up another thing, folks. If you're still like conflicted on who you're going to vote for, which you get close to getting unconflicted because it's you're 13 days out here... don't forget those down ballots. I mean, the House and the Senate literally are at stake. That's a big deal. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. Normally, this would be Logan's pitch, but I'll do it for Logan today since he's out. So if you're not getting the full hour of the program, and a lot of you do, but if you don't, let me encourage you to just go over to Facebook, Jay Sekulow, and there's the whole hour of the broadcast. And also, of course, you can get it on ACLJ.org, and you can later get it by podcast if you want. And, of course, SiriusXM.
Yeah, we'll keep taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll keep the discussion going on Facebook and Periscope. And right now it's Jay Sekulow monitoring our Facebook. So for those of you on there, this is a great time to get your comments in. He's monitoring. This is Logan.
Let's do a shot.
I'm monitoring the calls. Logan's out.
I am monitoring. You can't really get the side shot here. I am monitoring the Facebook feed. I know what you're saying.
Yep. And folks, we do have news, not audio, but just a statement from Josh Earnest, by the way. Yesterday, he said, of course, the president had possession of Secretary Clinton's email address, but he did not have any knowledge of where her server was located.
That's not the answer. That is not responsive to the question asked. The response to the question asked would be, did the president in his email address that was in the computer or his phone or whatever it was, did it have clintonmail.com?
Yeah.
That's the question. Nice try, Josh Earnest. So you got to give the guy he gets an A for effort.
See, he of course, and President Obama said he had no idea about the server. See, this is how you start parsing the words.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you have a private email account, it's got to go somewhere. There must be a private server. It's not a government one. So this answer doesn't cover it. We'll be right back.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. This is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. The question today, did President Obama lie when he was asked about Hillary Clinton's private email account? Within 2 days of the story breaking that Hillary Clinton had this private email server and private email address that she was using, President Obama was asked. Let's play it for everybody. This is back in March of 2015.
Already public.
Already public now. So the simple question, simple answer from President Obama. Seems very straightforward. Take a listen, Byte 18.
Which is not. Go ahead.
Mr. President, when did you first learn that Hillary Clinton used an email system outside the U.S. government for official business while she was Secretary of State?
The same time everybody else learned it through news reports.
Okay, if that's true, if the president was truthful there, and I don't know that, if he was truthful there, then there's malfeasance in his office. Because now John Podesta, not John Podesta, excuse me, Josh Earnest has come out and said in a written statement that, in fact, the president did have Hillary Clinton's email system inside her address, inside his devices that he was communicating with. So let's assume the president's telling the truth. He didn't know about it. How in the world did his staff, which all have top secret clearance, the highest level of clearance, not know they were communicating on an unsecured server in the basement of the Clinton household? And if they did know and didn't tell the president, that's malfeasance. If they didn't know, that's malfeasance. And if the president's lying, that's violating your oath of office.
Yeah, and I'm just not sure. I think Josh Earnest and a lot of these folks, they think that the tech world, I'm sure he had this explained to him, they think people don't put the dots together.
Well, they do.
But if the president, this is Josh Earnest's full statement, of course the president had possession of Secretary Clinton's email address, but he did not have any knowledge of where her server was located or what sort of arrangements had been made to store her email. What he's acknowledging there is that the president had her private email address.
Yeah.
At, you know, clintonmail.com or whatever. If you do that, you must have a server somewhere. You don't have to know where it is.
Right.
But you must have one, and that means it's the president knew that she has a private email address. Does the president have one? That's the other question
we'll never know that.
Does President Obama also operate this way with him and his staff? And is that this new operating system amongst our politicians? They have their government emails they don't really use, and then they have their private emails, which is what they really use. And
so Diana on Facebook asked me, so she said, Jay, what can actually be done about this? Will Congress take action? I think that this whole issue has to be investigated by Congress as oversight authority. And Than, our director of governmental affairs, that has to move forward.
It's got to move forward, Jay. I think two things have to happen. First of all, the electorate has to stand up and take notice. Second, even after the election, Congress needs to step up. Listen, ignorance is not a defense here for the president of the United States. We have spent weeks and months talking about how Hillary Clinton had an affirmative obligation to treat sensitive communication with care. The president had the same obligation. So even if he didn't know where the server was, it does not change his obligation to treat those communications with care. And these communications show he failed in that obligation.
All right. So here's what people are really saying. You know, is this just nothing you can do about it? The truth is no. First of all, elections have consequences. So don't forget to vote. Number two, we have the capability to dig deep in this. Look, folks, we took on the Internal Revenue Service, one of the biggest and strongest agencies inside the Obama administration, the IRS, part of the Department of the Treasury. We took them on and we beat them. We won at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. Okay? So guess what? Another group, friends of ours, that were doing a case called Z Street, which is a pro-Jewish organization, won a case at the district court level against the IRS and also at the Court of Appeals. Guess who wrote the opinion in that one? Merrick Garland. The president's nominee to the Supreme Court, and he still said the IRS was wrong. So we don't give up. You fight back. That's what America's about. Listen, the election's going to come and go. The country has to keep going. We live in the greatest country in the world. American exceptionalism, no matter how this election goes, fight for what's right.
Folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's an important time for the ACLJ. If you're able to make a donation to the work that we do, it's not just this show, but all of the cases that we've got, of course, around the country and around the world. It's a great time to do it at ACLJ.org. Very easy. It's safe, recurring donation each month. We'd appreciate that, especially if you're new to this broadcast and support the work that we do. It's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
It was bases loaded, no outs, bottom of the eighth. You can't quite pull the trigger and get the hit in. Can't get the guys in. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to take the old goat story. I'm still pulling for the Cubs. I was a 1968, 1969 Chicago Cubs fan with Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, Ferguson Jenkins, Randy Huntley behind the mound, Ron Santo at third base. I could be like Harry Carey. I could call it. Go Cubs!
I only go back about as far as Ryan Sandberg. Here's the good news, Jay. It's 1-0 now. Uh-huh. After tonight, when the Cubs have home field advantage, we're okay.
Okay, I hope you're right. But it was not a good start, but it happens. So I'm still not getting a lot of response on who's Cubs or not Cubs.
I think it's mostly Cubs fans on there. We'll go to John.
I got a Cardinal fan. Yet they didn't make it.
John in Urbandale, Iowa.
Hey, John.
I don't want to make an assumption about all Iowans, but there are a lot of Cubs fans in Iowa, so you could let us know and then
get in. Totally a lot of Cubs fans in Iowa.
Are you a Cubs fan, though? It sounds like you might not be.
I am. I didn't like that game too much last night, but, you know, you can't blow full bases. They're bases loaded. But
you know, that, John, I mean, we'll get back to politics and your question in a second, but you know what? Just to go for a sports moment here, bases loaded.
No outs.
You're behind. No outs.
Only three. You're behind three.
At that point, it was, and you can't pull it off. So doesn't look too good. But that's just the first game.
It just wasn't rolling for them.
Hey, but game two's tonight. We'll have
early.
You think we should do a live broadcast?
No, I don't think we should try to compete with the World Series.
Okay. No, about the World Series. Okay, go ahead. Let's go back to it.
Yeah, the game got moved up. It's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Central. All right, back to the phones. We go 1-800-684-30.
Oh, we got to go, John. You're there.
Yeah,
go
John.
Ahead, John.
And John, I also want to know, because you're calling out, I'm going to start asking this from Battleground folks. We got a lot of them today. Iowa being a battleground state. What do you feel on the ground? And then you could get to your question about who you think has the momentum in this campaign.
I think there is a lot of unspoken Trump support. I mean, if everybody out there is going Hillary's way and buying that line, it's certainly not in the group I talk to, and these aren't my friends. These are just people that, you know, conversations come up. There's a lot of support here. So, I mean, it's anybody's guess.
Well, I think it is. Actually, John, I'll let you finish. I actually think it is still anybody's guess. I think that Trump traditionally underpolls. These battleground states are within, most of them are within the margin of error. If he could get on message and not have these other kerfuffles, I don't think it's over for him. Hillary Clinton is playing it smart. She's not making news. But go ahead. Finish up, John.
Oh, well, I've said many times I wish he would just be quiet and let her hang herself. But
instead, she's being quiet, he's making the statements. That's the problem.
He's going to keep doing it. Hopefully it doesn't bite him. My question, guys, this FBI guy that moved into position two.
Yeah.
If Comey gets knocked out and Hillary gets elected, does this guy get position one?
He could be up for it, but it's traditionally not. Usually it's not an internal pick. It's usually outside because it's a directorship for 10 years. It exceeds the president's line. But I can't imagine, even Hillary Clinton, I don't think, would put this guy as the guy. Way too much taint.
I think more likely he cashes out and gets on lots of boards of companies. And, it may stay in that number two position for a while. Could move to like a number two DOJ. I don't know if he's attorney or not, but could move to a number two DOJ position.
But number two in the FBI is a big deal. I mean, private work.
But usually someone like the next FBI director, listen, I think Clinton's going to keep Comey through his term if she is elected president.
I think that's right.
So let's get back to the phones. So we've got some Florida calls as well. So let's go to Robin, let's go to Valerie first in line four. Valerie's been holding for over 30 minutes in Palm Harbor, Florida. Valerie, we get a lot of conflicting reports out of Florida day to day. Sometimes the polls have it, you know, it's Clinton running away with it. Next, and today, if you look on Drudge, Trump running away, up four or up three. So, Valerie, what are you feeling in your area of Florida, in Palm Harbor?
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your work.
Yep.
I'd like to say first.
Sure.
What I believe in Florida, I've gone to Trump rallies here.
Okay. Yep.
And there were about 30,000 to 31,000 people in I'm getting a little feedback, so bear with me.
Go ahead.
There were about 31,000 people that I heard attended the rally in Tampa on Monday. I attended. It was tough getting in, but it was worth it. What I feel is, because I'm looking at the polls too, they're definitely fluctuating.
Yeah.
What I hear from my friends here and people that I know is they're all Trump supporters.
So here's an interesting thing. I don't jump in here, but I'll let you ask your question. But it's interesting because every day, I mean, the Florida numbers flipping every day, and that's a must-win state for Donald Trump. And it's an important state for Hillary Clinton, too. What's interesting to me is, and Logan said this the other day, can the Trump fans that come 31,000, 35,000 to an event, do those turn into Trump votes? And that's always, and Jordan's done political campaigns, so is Stan. Getting them from fan to vote is a process.
Yeah, I mean, we know, and Valerie, we'll let you ask your question as well. But, you know, I think in Valerie's situation, what I hear is she's been to three rallies.
Yep.
So is it this, and maybe Valerie could speak to this, because I'm not trying to be negative. I think it's great that you're encouraged about a candidate and you're getting out there for him and spending the time to do it. And I've worked on a lot of campaigns I wish we had that kind of enthusiasm for. Where people would be like you. And so you're very important to these campaigns that you'll make the time to be there. Do you feel like it's kind of the same folks, though? Is it the same 30,000, Valerie, or do you think it's growing? And are those folks then, are you getting activated at all? This is an interesting question. At your events, are there opportunities for you to phone bank or go knock on doors
or
for the Trump campaign or register to vote? Have you seen that kind of like request happening?
At the events,
absolutely,
Valerie?
Absolutely. Actually, I work on the Trump campaign.
Okay.
I've made calls. I haven't been the door-to-door yet because I work full-time during the day.
Sure.
But I've worked some of the rallies, and that's what I wanted to say. So now the rallies that I've attended, I either drove 2 hours, 3 hours, or an hour.
Well,
and it is, I mean, tens of thousands of different people show
that's
up.
That's good.
I mean, it's amazing.
That speaks well
because
for
she is not, because Hillary Clinton is not getting big numbers. I mean,
Kaine was in 30 people in Miami. It was like 30 or 40 people at a giant park. Now, I mean, you could say Tim Kaine, and listen, not all about enthusiasm, but you go back to President Obama. What pushed him over the top? Now he was leading him. Well, actually, he was behind Mitt Romney.
Yep.
But he was able to go in and fill up these arenas.
Yep.
And so what happened? He ended up winning that race. He came from behind, about 5 points behind nationally. So that's where Trump is right now. But Valerie, go ahead with your question. Thanks for answering ours.
No, you're welcome. Not a problem. Okay, so there's a couple of points I'd like to make. If you revisit back 2011, President Obama heard about Fast and Furious scandal.
Right.
He says he heard it from the news.
Everything's from the news.
That was back in 2011. So it sounds like he has a pattern of being not knowing what's going on in his administration.
Well, I keep calling it malfeasance. I mean, how's the president of the United States find? I found out about first of all, like you did. I found out it on the news. That's what he said on Fast and Furious. We may have that one in the bank, but even if we don't, it's a long time ago. But yes, absolutely. He finds out about the news. That's not what you want your president saying.
No, absolutely not. That's number one. The other point I want to make is, remember, I don't know. I mean, actually, let me say this. I've been reading the Podesta emails as much as I possibly can between school and between work.
Right.
And there were several emails I had found that Clinton's lawyers that were defending her on the email scandal, they said they have the thumb drive, but they have not handed over to DOJ yet.
Yeah, and there was a question, Valerie, there was a question about the thumb drive, whether even that thumb drive could be in the possession of those lawyers because they didn't have security clearance.
Yeah.
So that was another issue. But I got one question to ask you, one more, and then we're going to let you go, Valerie. But you don't sound like you're from Florida.
I'm actually from Brooklyn.
There you go.
New
so
York.
Am I. So are you Cubs
Bay
or
Ridge.
Are you Chicago Cubs or Cleveland Indians in the World Series?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not really a sports fan.
Yeah, because the Yankees aren't, and the Yankees aren't in it. That's why. All right, thanks, Valerie. Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that to go to that too, there's now questions being raised about whether these emails all do exist still.
Yeah.
And that the FBI just hasn't requested them. I know that Judicial Watch has now put that out today.
Yeah.
That in fact, through these thumb drives, I think that's what Valerie's referencing, and multiple thumb drives that exist, did the FBI just not do due diligence and actually request
so, the... Than, will you walk everybody... I think this is important as we close this segment out, and then we're going to get to everybody's call. Y'all have been holding. We've got a lot to cover. Than, let's go through what can Congress... Because people... I mean, I'm watching the feed here. And I mean, we're getting a lot of people on Facebook and Periscope saying, okay, this is, you're giving us great information. You laid the case out. What can we do? And I want to let people know not only the election, but Congress has a big role here.
They sure do. And actually, the setup that Jordan just gave is a perfect lead into that. Because listen, there are only two possibilities here. Either those emails still exist, either on the thumb drive or in a computer that they promised to destroy and didn't destroy, or the FBI destroyed them. Those are the only two possibilities that exist. So Congress needs to find out which of those is true. If the emails exist, even after the Elections Day, it's critical that we get them. If they don't exist, there is only one proper recourse, and that is Director Comey needs to step down, resign, or be impeached, and there needs to be a clean out at the FBI.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, the president knows everything about the press. Remember this one about the IRS? Take a listen.
Can you assure the American people that nobody in the White House knew about the agency's actions before your counsel's office found out on April 22nd?
Let me make sure that I answer a specific question. I can assure you that I certainly did not know anything about the IG report before the IG report had been leaked through the press.
Yeah, except that wasn't the question the reporter asked. The reporter asked, can you assure the American people that nobody in the White House knew about the agency's actions before your counsel's office, White House counsel's office, found out about it on April 22nd? Let me ask, make sure I understand the specific question, which he then rephrases. You're right. That's what he does. Consequences to this stuff, folks. That's why we're fighting, by the way, the Department of Justice. He's better at it than Hillary Clinton.
He's much better at it than Hillary Clinton. We'll take more of your comments, calls, 1-800-684-3110 and Facebook and Periscope. Go to ACLJ.org. Support us with a donation today if you can.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. Persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented, and here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Yeah, it's a retro Cleveland Indians theme song.
I mean, these teams are both kind of, you know, it's been a lot of time until they get to this point.
Of our country.
But Cleveland, 70 years. The Cubs, 1908, 1907, I think. Was it 1906 and 1907 or 1907 and 1908? 1908.
And then we had the goat curse.
And then the goat. So, again, you know, the curse is not over. I just want to make that clear to everybody.
Cleveland fan.
The curse is not over unless they actually win the World Series. If not, the curse continues. They made the World Series again in the end of World War II. That was it. 1945 was the last time the Cubs made it.
They do well in crisis situations.
They did not win. So the curse continued on. Let's go through all the phone calls based on how long people have been on. We got many people. I want to say this now because I'm not even going to have time to say it for everybody. If you want a copy of a brand new book, Unholy Alliance, signed, stay on after your comment. So don't hang up. all of you will get a book signed. We'll get your address, and so if so after your comment, just stay on your phone. Our call screener will come back on and get your info from you. Let's go to Roy, calling in from Oregon. He's been on for over 40 minutes. Roy, we appreciate that.
I'm going to have to send Roy two books. Go ahead, Roy, you're on.
Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for what you guys do there. We obviously know the corruption trail of the Obama administration is huge. I mean, we can spend a whole nother show talking about it. What would this president have to do in order to go so past the Constitution that we the people can stop him dead in his tracks? Because an impeachment process right now obviously would take too long.
Oh no, it's not going to matter. He's going to be. You can't impeach him when he's not in office. So that it's that would the and Congress is not in session. So that's not reality. What's going to? I mean, look, it's an election coming up, and it appears that half the country is divided for one candidate and half the other. So it's going to be who's going to get out the vote, who you want to carry the day. And no matter which way it goes, our job doesn't stop. That's how we have to deal with it. We appreciate the call.
Thank you. And hang on. We'll get your info. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Joni calling in from Ravenwood, Missouri. Joni, I have a question for you. Missouri, just briefly, a lot of talk about Senator Blunt and issues with, you know, he's maybe trailing in his campaign and the balance of the U.S. Senate may be there. What are you feeling on the ground in Missouri? And then go ahead with your question.
Well, I think Missouri is pretty split.
So it could go either way.
I do. I think more of the rural people are more for Trump.
Yeah.
And we've got more of the cities that are more inclined to go the opposite way. Okay. My question is about Congress. Now, don't they have the right, or they can get hold of all these emails, or don't they already have them?
So, let's talk about what happened. A lot of them were turned over. A lot of them weren't.
Yeah, they have some of them, but this is actually one of the critical points here. There was a subpoena in place for the emails that were on that Cheryl Mills computer that the FBI granted immunity for and then agreed to destroy. So that happened in the face of a congressional subpoena. They had some of these, but a lot of the emails that we're now getting through WikiLeaks, they never saw. And the ones they did, Jay, were heavily redacted. So that's definitely a layer to this.
Yeah, no, I think
they didn't have access to all. And that makes sense because Congress can't just demand on its own whenever they want to feel like the administration they don't agree with to get all their... back and forth. The FBI can, however, and as you heard from Than, they destroyed it.
I got an email a Facebook question from Evie who said, how can the president campaign for a nominee when he should be working as our president? That's just part
very
of our
normal
part of our history.
They'll pay for it out of his own funds. Split costs based off, you know, use of Air Force One. Very normal, especially, I mean, he's coming up on this lame duck period of time where his biggest
this
thing
is normal.
Keeping someone in office
who has a similar
background. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Robin in Clearwater, Florida. Another Florida call. So, Robin, where you are in Florida, first question, then you go to your question. Do you feel, how do you feel about the campaign right now? If the election were held today, who do you think would win your state?
I'm kind of up in the air on that. I think Hillary would win by fraud.
By about five?
She said fraud.
Fraud.
Yes.
Well, it would take a lot to do that.
I mean, Florida, but I get your point now. Florida's and you have a question about that, so go ahead with your question, Robin.
Yeah, I am worried about voter fraud. Yeah. 2 days ago, DOJ Loretta Lynch, she released a press release warning people who serve as poll watchers, hoping to prevent voter fraud, that they could be violating... Just a second.
Yeah, no, if there's voter intimidation...
No, Robin, I get it. Okay. I know you got something going on. We understand that. You're supposed to be trained if you're going to be a poll watcher.
Yep.
All campaigns should train you. You can cross the line and go too far. You're supposed to be there to watch, take note of problems, and then report those problems to your campaign. Not get in someone's face.
Nope.
Not interfere with any voters, or even once you're in that room. You know, they have campaign areas where you're allowed to be, maybe with signs away from the polling place. In that situation, your job is only to watch. If you see irregularities, you then contact the campaign. They should give you a number. You contact them. They handle it with lawyers. Do not go in there and have confrontation. Then
you are not
violating laws.
Yeah, because there's interfering with people's right to vote. And the Supreme Court has held those to be constitutional, where campaigns can't get within 100 feet.
You're allowed to watch.
A poll watcher's job is to watch and report, not to interfere with the actual voting process. I want to be very clear on that. There should be no voter intimidation. There should be no communication with the individuals that are voting. You're there to watch and observe. That's what, if you see voter fraud going on, report that to the committee, and they will take it from there.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Dan in Jamestown, New York, on line one. Dan, welcome to JSEC.
Hey, quickly,
Live.
Dan.
Hey, I was on justice.gov, and underneath the Criminal Resource Manual, number 1663,
yeah,
it talks about the protection of government property.
Right.
And the subsection B talks about those who willfully and unlawfully
conceal. Oh, absolutely. If you destroy government property, it's a crime. It's not just a regulatory violation, it's a crime. The problem is here, the government agreed to do it, purportedly. The government in the United States agreed to do that. And Than, really quickly, that's the question that's got to be asked James Comey. Why in the world would you do that?
Well, and even beyond that, Jay, if you find classified information on any piece of hardware, that becomes government property. So they, in essence, destroyed their own property that contained, yep, classified information. Just totally unacceptable.
All right, let's take another call. We got two to two in 2 minutes.
Yep, Cynthia in Sacramento, California.
You're on
line five. Cynthia, welcome to
JSEC
Live.
Hello, how are you?
Good, you're on the air.
I'm trying to discern,
yeah,
between the two candidates.
Okay.
Both of them have a lot of controversy. And
sure.
So what makes Trump a more viable candidate?
Here's what you got to do. This is what I tell everybody to do. I'm not going to endorse either one of these candidates. I can't. The ACLJ cannot. Look at the positions. Look at the platforms. See which positions and platforms lean and line up with your worldview. And that's been a third party, and people are free to do whatever they want. But I will tell you this, Cynthia. Please vote, and vote down ticket as well. All right, we can get Karen's call
in. Yeah, Karen in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, important state as well. Karen, very quickly ask, if the election were held today, who do you think wins Florida? And then go ahead right away with your question.
As much as I hate to say it, I would have to say Hillary.
Okay, all right.
But my question is, I'm concerned about the absentee ballot. My son,
yeah,
is voting for the first time in this election. He's away at college.
Yeah.
So he's mailing in his ballot.
Well, let Jordan jump right in here, because absentee ballots are interesting. Sometimes,
yes,
they don't even count them unless it's close.
They will be counted long-term. So it will show up eventually, Karen, as long as everything was filled out properly, that your son voted, and so he'll have that record. But let's say that the Hillary Clinton, as you point out, won Florida by 200,000 votes, and there's only, and this is not the real numbers,
right,
but there's only 100,000 absentee ballots. They don't count them that night because there's not enough even votes there to change. They will ultimately, over time, add those to the tallies.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between an absentee ballot. Also, if you have to vote provisionally, same thing happens there. They don't look into those legal issues unless they have to.
Right.
But absentee ballots certainly do count. In Florida, guess what? Sometimes it's gotten so close that they open up every single one of them,
yep,
on election night.
In recent elections. All right, folks, that does it for today. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, stay here. We're going to play that whole League Greenwood with the Jay Sekulow Band. God bless the USA. And support the work at ACLJ.org.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. This is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.